conference as usual, but I think this has probably been the most impacting, mainly because what a guy said the last day, and yeah, wait, Saturday morning, they had asked all the kids to come up so that all the youth leaders and pastors could pray for us, and the one guy that prayed over me, he said that he felt like God was telling him that I've been like in the ground getting watered and stuff, but I haven't really come up and out like a flower. And he said that he thinks that this is going to be the conference that I'm really going to, like, he used the cocoon and a butterfly analogy, and he said that he feels like this is the conference that I'm really going to break out and become a flower, like he said, or a butterfly. So I'll hold the mic for other people.
Well, I agree with Matt for most part. Saturday morning, Mr. Allen prayed over me and said that I would be more outgoing and stuff. And, well, this morning I prayed for Ruth for her knee and her ankle. And I just, while I was doing that, I also prayed that God would heal it so I'd become a stronger believer in him. So I feel that the Lord did that this morning to me, that I'd become a stronger believer.
The whole conference was, like, totally amazing. It was called Impact Revolution. And the main message was to, like, take the youth and turn, like, to have the world turned upside down. And to really get, like, everybody, or, like, all the youth out there and give, like, the message to God, to everybody. And before I'm, like, really, or I breaking out of my bubble and everything has been really challenging for me. And they definitely helped me with that. The one speaker was from Redding, California. And the first night we were all like, he's good and everything. But he wasn't, we were comparing him to another speaker and we, like, didn't really think he was the best. But then the second night he really hit all of us and we really got impacted by him. And he was talking about, like, how, like, we are to have faith and in healing and everything, and there were and holiness too, and and there were a lot of people that really got healed that weekend. I think they did a count up. It was 50 or 51 or something. 50 people got healed. Stuff like this one lady had something with her ankle, and she had surgery on it, and she could feel the post in her ankle and everything, or a rod in her ankle, and they prayed over her, and she said she was totally healed, and that they, she had, like, no more pain in her ankle, and they're all home. Oh, okay. She couldn't feel the rod anymore, and there were just a whole mess of different things like that. And then, let me think, because I know there's more. I wish I had brought my notes. I guess that's basically it. That's all I can remember.
Get an adult in the midst of these young adults. Hey, I'm still young. Elam Youth Conference, they always do a great job. And something I always like, they always have separate sessions for the youth leaders, which is really awesome. Woo-hoo. And we went to one that really hit me by Banning Liebscher, who is from California, from Bill Johnson's church. And he was sharing how one time he was at this big conference and he was one of the speakers and he was surrounded by all these amazing speakers who move in realms he doesn't move in. And his prayer before his time to speak, and I'm quoting, but it was basically, Lord, I'm not going to quote. He was like, Lord, don't let me completely stink. Like, I don't want to get up there and be a failure. Look at all these people. They're amazing. And basically, I want to look good, too. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you have a choice today. Do you want to be a preacher or do you want to be a son? if you want to be a preacher, you will be good some of the times, but not all the time. But if you want to be a son, you will always be a fantastic son. And that just ministered to my heart because, you know, sometimes I think, oh, what if I mess up? What if I do this? And just resting in the fact that I'm a daughter and I'll always be a good daughter. So that ministered to my heart.
So I'm going to try and not like, yeah, okay, anyway. Usually I go and like, there's like one or two things that like, speak to me, but this time, like, every single one of the sessions was, like, it just, I could relate to all of them, and every single one of them, I think, helped me grow in my walk with God. But the one that really got me was, it was talking about giving, like, all of yourself to God, like, all of your heart, everything, and making Him, like, first in your life and living just for Him. And I've always had, like, I've always been like, okay, God, I give you everything, every part of me, you know, I surrender it all. But then, like, He would ask me to do something like give something like this to that. And I'm like, wait, I can't give that away. That's like, you know, or like something like that. Like, I wouldn't really be willing to do anything. I wouldn't be willing to go in anywhere. But as we were worshiping, it was just like He was saying how when you're really in God's presence and when you really encounter Him, like, those things are so easy to give up. And that was just really true because, like, as I was worshiping, I was like, all that stuff doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I would give all of that away just to, like, encounter God more. And so that was just, like, He really helped me just, yeah, I just really grew a lot. And also, like Matt was saying, the Saturday when all the leaders came up and prayed, this one lady came and prayed for me, and it wasn't one of our leaders, so she didn't know me, but, like, what she said was really, like, good. She was saying, like, how at school I was really, like, reserved and quiet and didn't really step out, and that was really true. In fact, some of the stuff that she was saying about me was words that I've used to describe myself to other people. Like, yeah, I'm really quiet at school, I'm really reserved, I never, like, step out. And she was just saying that God's really gonna help me to step out, and that, like, people are gonna be like, I'm gonna go back a different girl, and everybody's gonna be like, who is this girl? You know, she's not quiet, she's not reserved. So that was just really cool too. So yeah.
This might be a good time. I wanted to pray for all the youth. Let's just gather around. And Kathy, could you join me up here? Where Dave, I imagine. Is Dave around? Okay. Can we just reach out our hands? We just appreciate all of you for helping these folks reach their dream of going to this conference. And we just wanted to take an opportunity to have them share a little bit about the impact it had on their lives. So, you know, when you buy those cookies and you help out with all those things, you're sending these folks to encounter God. So, Father, I just thank You for the fact that in Your own special way You reached each and every one of these lives. And we thank You, Lord, we could be a part of sending them out and having them encounter how good You are. We just pray, Father, that, Lord, You would keep them in the protective custody of the Holy Ghost for these next several weeks, where the enemy would try to bring occasion to take away that which has been imparted to their heart. I pray, Father, that their excitement for You would continue to build, that their desire for the things of the Spirit would continue to increase, that, Lord, You just continue to bless them with wisdom and grace and mercy and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of grace and supplication, that, Lord, they would enter into realms that is beyond all they could ask or think, that You would take the seeds that have been planted in their hearts and cause them to be watered and to grow. We bless each and every one, and we just thank You, Father, for them coming back with the impact of the Spirit of God upon their lives. Lord, put Your seal upon them, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Praise God.
You know, another one of the, and during the services, they're talking to us whenever they separated us, the leadership from the youth. They were telling us that during these conferences, a lot of people get really built up and they get encouraged to do a lot of these things, but whenever they come home, they tend to lose that. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because we let the world get in our way. The adults, us, you know, we almost discourage them. We steal that courage that they build up in themselves. And the way we do these, the one guy gave an example of his little girl. And he said, "What do you want to be someday?" And she said, "I want to be an astronaut." And he's like, "Oh, that's great." And then he says, "But you realize there's, what, 3 billion people in the United States. 5 of them become astronauts. And out of those 5, maybe one's a girl. You know, so that's a really great dream, but, you know, it's not very realistic." And he said, "We can't do that. You know, we have to build up the courage. We can't." Encouraging is giving out courage. You're building up that courage, and we need to continue to do that. Whenever these people have dreams, they also said, we tend to wait for other people to come alongside of us and do something. He said, "Don't wait. You can do it. You know, if you want to change the world, if you want to bring Christ into the world, you can do that. You know, you have to have the courage to do that. You don't have to wait to move on your school. You don't have to wait to move in your community until you have 20 other people and a lot of funding and, you know, like some corporate backing. And it's got to be on a Sunday. It's got to be in the spring whenever the temperature is cool enough that everybody comes out. You know, you just do it. You know, you don't have to wait. Other people will come alongside of you. If you're the only one out there at your school that's going in every morning and praying for the school, then you do that. Other people will come along eventually, you know. But if you're the only one that does that, you go out and you do that.
One of the things that really hit me was, I think it was Friday night, and they were talking about the revelation and how you really need to put all of yours to God, like Faith was saying. And he used cliff diving as like a visual, and he climbed on a chair, and he was talking about, you know, there's a line that once you pass it, there's no turning back. And you have to think of it as that. When you give your all to God, you can't go back. And when he did the altar call and had everybody go up, I was reluctant, and I stayed back at my seat. And about everybody else, there was maybe a couple handful of kids that didn't even go up. And as they were praying up there, I was praying back in my seat just for that. And I feel like today I've really stepped out. When Tanner came around asking who wanted to go with him to pray for Ruth, I could tell, you know, like some of us weren't sure, but as a group we went over. And I really think we all stepped out of our comfort zones this morning and just put our foot forward, and we're getting what we were taught over the conference, and we're putting it forth.
One of the things that impacted me the most was on the last day, where there was I don't remember the name of the last day speaker, but he was talking about impossible things, and he got people up there that said about backflips and off the stage and things as a demonstration, which some of them didn't work out too well, but they made it through it all right. He just reminded us that, like one of the things that seem impossible, like one person starting up a group in school or something like that, where they can, like, even though there's not a lot of people behind them, like, it made a huge impact in other people's lives. Like, I don't know if this was him, but somebody else gave an example of a kid that every day he would go to school with a Bible, and his goal was before he graduated was to tell everybody in his class about Jesus. And there was some type of get-together, and all these people that got in trouble with drugs and stuff like that, and they gave up and gave testimonies about how that kid went and told them about Jesus and how they were on the right path, and like 100 and some people turned their lives over to the Lord and stuff like that. So things that are impossible are possible with the Lord.
I bought my journal. I bought notes. Really, really good things happened. One of the things that really struck me is what a privilege it is to be able to have this opportunity to hang out with these kids and to take these kids here. Oh, thank you. You know, I usually start bawling when the microphone's in me, near me. When we were growing up, a lot of us didn't have this opportunity. And the neatest thing is to see these kids come here with walls all around them and then see their walls just coming down, you know. And one of the neatest things, I think, for myself, gosh, I got so many notes. I know, it's like 5 pages, Matt. A couple of them, the things that I starred. Repent for seeing someone's weakness and hating them, you know. We get frustrated when we have to deal with other people and they're not doing things the way we want them to do, or they're not saying things the way we want them to do it, and to repent for that. That so much of the time we have this trauma in our life that could and does paralyze you from your purpose and your destiny. The enemy comes and disarms you from your courage. We cannot live discouraged. It is too costly to disarm us of the very thing we need. And they were talking about in that moment how the enemy holds us back. You know, we have situations in our life that we're so busy not looking at God instead of looking at God. And then how it paralyzes us from our destiny. When we are hurt, we push people away. We shut down. We stop being around those people. We change churches, jobs, mentors, wives. God has a plan. Will we leave the pain at the cross to continue our destiny? Will we keep our eyes on God to watch God to see his plan played out instead of us moving in our life on our emotions? Those moments when living on feelings is when the lies start to come in. And then the finale of it all was, get hold of this now. Some of us aren't getting this until we are 40, 50, and 60 years old. And we have this incredible new generation coming up, and they're getting it at 14, 15, and 16 years old. You know, so it's so exciting to see this new generation coming, you know. And to really start looking at ourselves, how come I'm having such a hard time where I'm at and in this place where I'm at? And it's because of his love for you. What will you do with this season? You know, so the question is, what will you do with this season where you're at? How come you're having a hard time in this place? How come you're having a hard time with this person? And really, it's because of his love for us that we're going through this, you know. So it was amazing, amazing stuff. If anybody wants to read these notes, I could go on and on and on. I know I have to stop. And I did it without crying, you guys. That's great.
All right, again, well, I said this is a group, good group of kids. Generally, I don't know how many were there, 500, 600 at least in the church, I'm guessing, of Christian youth. You know, I guess when you look at society today, I don't know if I'm just getting older or what, but you don't always have the mindset that there's good Christian kids out there. And the truth is there are. They're here in our midst. And our focus and our attention and our prayers need to be for them, because if we can give them the wisdom and the impartation of things that we took years to learn and give it to them at a younger age, just imagine what they can do. I mean, the focus of us as adults should be imparting to the next generation, to be implanting who we are, what we've learned, the old ministering to the young. It doesn't have anything to do with age. It's talking about maturity and things that you've learned that you can share with them that they might not have to go through the same kind of difficulties. Because I don't expect bad things to come. I expect good things. We need to project feelings that they're going to be successful, that there's going to be things that they can do in life that we couldn't accomplish because they're starting so much younger. Those kind of things are in and of themselves prophetic, because if we have discouragement as more mature adults and we say, oh, you know, that's a good idea, you're pretty excited, but, you know, it's not going to happen that way, or this is going to come along, or one example he gave of an old man coming up to one of our speakers and telling him, I can't do what he did, but telling him basically, you know, when you grow up and get, you know, how long have you been saved? He asked him, and I mean, it was Adam McCain. He's not even 57 now. The guy said he's been saved for 57 years. I've been saved before you were born, Sonny. You know, and when you come to mature and come to grow up and come to figure out that, you know, not everything that you're thinking can happen, and eventually, basically, you'll settle, is what I got from it. And Adam McCain, just right there, realized, he said, if this, you know, if what I'm looking at is the goal, if this is what we're going to strive towards, to become where we're just going to be complacent or settle and not expect great things from God, he didn't want any part of that. And that we need to have an expectation that God's still moving today, that God's Spirit still moves, and that it's as active in this generation as it is going to, has ever been, or even more active. And so a lot of times our focus, our attention, or our resources, or our finances, in the church in general, are focused on groups that are over the teenage age. And yet most people who are saved were saved at an age that was younger than 18. And so the focus of our efforts in going, taking trips, is to put ourselves, who we are, into the next generation, to be able to say this is something that you can accomplish, to be behind them. A lot of words about encouragement and being holy, standing apart for something that God set you for. And I just see the role of us as a church to be behind them, like if they're running along a hill or something, pushing them along the way. You can do it, encouraging them through the marathon of life, saying, you know, here's some water, you can make it. It's just a couple more miles. And, you know, in a real marathon, they do that. They run alongside you and they give you nourishment along the way. And that has to be our goal. That has to be our heart for the generation that's coming up.
Bless you, folks. No, they're going back to their seats. We're done. It's lunchtime. Praise God. Look at that. That's wonderful. Youth had a takeover. We've been talking about having a youth takeover for a service, and they ended up doing it. And they didn't even know that. It was sort of a sneak attack. But praise the Lord. So I think there were enough different messages that there's something that you could probably take back with you and maybe have the Lord just put his amen upon. But, you know, it's the nice thing about hearing different voices, and they all say about the same thing. It all comes down to the same point of you know, we are all parts of one another. We live to encourage one another. It's wonderful to see the gifts being demonstrated and the love that goes into preparing for that. I would say, Dave, probably more than 30 hours, wouldn't you think, to put that together? 40 or 50 hours. I mean, just to put that on, I mean, that is an expression of love. And I just appreciate it. Him stretching the department up there to, you know, go into realms they hadn't gone before. I mean, it's just all the body encouraging itself and expanding itself so that we can just go to another level of excellence. And I'm excited about seeing everyone go, from the younger ones. I mean, we almost had a little miracle service there. They did pretty well, didn't they, for all that time? And from the youngest to the middle group to the rest of us, you know, we all are in this together, moving forward together. And the whole thing that's going to make that work is mutual encouragement. Just making this the safest place for you to make a mistake and still move forward in your gift and be a success, because everyone is behind you, helping you up to the next step. So let's just agree with the Lord and ask Him to bless what's been said to our hearts. Father, I just thank You that what You did today was just multifaceted. There's many things for us to take back with us. And I'm asking You, Lord, to just add application upon the things we've seen. Father, and just that You'd speak to our hearts and minister to our lives. And Lord, I just pray that You'd continue to strengthen our inner man against the forces that would seek to distract us from receiving and moving and walking in Your love. And I'm asking, Lord, for You to continue to just set us more and more free to love You and love one another and encourage one another in Your love. And we ask You this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for being such an encouragement to me and the youth and the kids. God bless you.